All right, everybody, welcome back to another episode of To The Rink Podcast, the number one GTHL podcast in the East. I don't know about the West yet, but in the East, I'm pretty sure we're number one. I don't even know for what we're competing against, but we show up every 2 to 3 weeks now, Puff. We've retreated
the monthly podcast that you've been waiting for.
The monthly up-to-date podcast. The last time we did one was during the Canada had just won against Finland. It was
yes. Nothing's happened in hockey since then.
Well, we've been busy. I think that's the key point. We both have jobs and lives, and of course, we've been at the rink a lot, so we got a lot to catch up on today. Anyway, it is episode 88.
Yes, Puffy,
I think I know who you're going to say on 88, but let's hear it from you.
Well, I mean, the kids today would say Patrick Kane. He's the one who's probably making 88 sing these days. But for me, it's the Big E, Eric Lindros. He's my favorite player growing up. He was a phenom in the city of Toronto as a kid, played for the Young Nats in the GTHL, physically dominant, could do it all. He'd hit you, he'd fight you, he'd rip a goal. If Walter Gretzky is the ultimate hockey dad, Carl and Bonnie Lindros would probably be the poster child for overbearing hockey parents. But I actually think in hindsight, they got a bit of a bad rap. I think they were just looking out for their kid and probably just trying to do right by him. But Eric Lindros, when he was at his best, no one played like him. And he was so much fun to watch. I remember 1991 Canada Cup. He was just out there crushing Russians everywhere. It was just something to see.
Yeah, he's a North Toronto kid, right?
He is. He's up on the banner. He coaches, I believe, in the GTHL, maybe with North Toronto.
Yeah, right on. Back then I didn't pay attention to any hockey, but I definitely knew who Eric Lindros was. And then having had jobs in the summer in Muskoka, I also got to know Eric Lindros and his brother, Brett Lindros, through those years too. And
they were a bit showtime up there. They definitely were well known in Muskoka.
Yeah, they were part of the fabric of Muskoka for sure. I actually thought you were going to say Nylander.
Oh, 88. Yes, he is, but he did not. The Leafs, I'd say, right now are
not
quite
top
low
of mind.
The totem pole of my hockey fandom.
Anyway, going back to the Lindros, Martha's family knows them somehow. I don't know how,
really,
but like her parents knew the Lindros' parents or something like that. I forget what it was, and they like had gone to their house for parties and stuff. I'm gonna find out after this. I'll find out. There's more to this story around the Lindros' and the Truscotts that I have no. I can't think of what it is, but
it'll come out. Martha dated Eric and Brett, both of them.
No, I did think Yuki went on a date with Eric, though.
They
played tennis, I think, is the story. I'll have to find out. This is unconfirmed on here.
Unconfirmed. If you dated Eric Lindros in the early 90s, we're not saying he did anything on the. He did not step out on you. We don't
know. No. Well, great. 88. I don't even know what we started on season three on, but we're coming to the end of the season. I'm guessing we're going to have maybe one, possibly two, but maybe one more episode, I'm guessing, just as we wrap up. Well, we got Clive. I got another 7 games of Clive. We'll talk about where we're at. So I actually have a few more weeks of hockey. So maybe we've got 1-2 more in, but we got lots to catch up on, Puff. So where do you want to dive in? What's the hottest topic right now we want to jump in on?
Well, for us in our house, we're all full playoffs as you are with the Tie Cats. We got through the first round, beat Forest Hill 6-2. Got a shout out, my boy Blake Schreier. He had 3 shutouts in the series.
Oh wow!
But we did suffer a couple of injuries. We had a broken collarbone and. We had a concussion, so we're short a few kids, which happens in hockey. Unfortunately, injuries are part of it. But we have started our East semifinal against North York, and we won game one. And game two last night at Scarborough Gardens, they tied it up with 15 seconds left. No. It was an old Tie Cat, Nick Jivov, who scored the tying goal. And sure he enjoyed that one. And so we're up 3-1 in the next game's at Herb Carnegie on Saturday, which will be
Be
a good one.
What time on Saturday?
3:30. So it works out for me because I'm working the TFC game, which is at 1 o'clock. So soccer's beautiful. It's two hour window, unless there's a bunch of red cards or stuff. So I should be able to zip down the 401. I'm hoping for a police escort in front of me and not behind me as I go sailing down towards the island.
But, have you ever had a police escort? Have you ever been in something that's had a police escort?
No, I don't think I ever have.
Yeah.
No,
I have.
You have? Oh, what did you get escorted for?
More than twice. Maybe three times.
Wow.
Two, unfortunately, were funerals. You know, when the cars go and they do like you have a police escort and they like you're allowed to, it feels pretty cool. But it's at a funeral, so you have to always then ground yourself when you're, you know, wondering why you're having this freedom through red lights. No, but then another time when I worked at Miller, we did this big competition and we brought a whole bunch of winners to California, and it was called the Miller Music Tour. And we went around to Las Vegas and Los Angeles and San Francisco. And when we landed in San Francisco, we had, I don't know, I'm going to guess about 30, we had hired 30 police on motorcycles. And they escorted our four buses, like coach buses of winners from all around the world, to the W Hotel. And they shut down the Golden Gate Bridge while we crossed it alone.
Yeah, that's great. That's what I would have loved if I was a local San Francisco resident.
Yeah. Is that funny? Miller paid lots of money to shut down the bridge so a bunch of winners could cross it in coach buses. And I remember looking at like a highway entrance, and there was cars like waiting to come on, and I looked over and I could, and there was the guy in the front just giving our buses the finger. Oh,
that would be me.
Anyway, well, that's good. So B is, they're in it, and he is he playing any Don Mills AAA at the moment?
Their season ended, as you'll learn later in the report. Yeah. But there is OHL Cup hopes for them.
Right. So he might even be called up to that.
Yeah, that would be an awesome experience for him if we were able to do that. Yeah.
Sweet. So, and then Ice Dogs. We got to talk about East York Ice Dogs. Yes. They're unfortunately done.
Yes.
The season's over.
We got kind of house leagued at the end when our top player and goal scorer was away on vacation for the pivotal game of the season.
Yeah, number six. We don't even know his
number
name.
Number six. And he had a great season. He showed up for us all season long, but unfortunately, the last game we had to win, and he wasn't there. So we couldn't muster it.
Well, what we've now, got, we, yeah.
You have got double barrels of GTHL action. That's it. And I have to say that I've also been at quite a few of the games, so we have lots to talk about.
In my notes, I have Puffy has been at all the games.
Pretty much.
Let's start
enjoying it.
Let's start with the U6 or U17 single A.
Yes. Yes.
Scarborough Ice Raiders. Wonderful team. A beautiful group of parents. A beautiful group of kids. A beautiful set of coaches, and a storybook series that could have been a Disney movie.
It was fantastic.
It was such an amazing run, and you know, I'm gonna tell the story, but it was awesome. So we made playoffs, which throughout the year, you know, we're not in the top four, so we were always in there but fighting to hold our position. We made playoffs. I think we got fifth place in the season, which is pretty good. Now in our division though, 1, 2, 3, 4 are very good. And then there was a gap. So there's a decent gap between the fourth place and the fifth place, is just for context, you know?
Yes.
And that is Vic Village. So we'd have to play Vic Village, which I believe I've said this in the past, is everyone's nemesis. I don't know why. I just think every team has Vic Village as a nemesis. They're grindy. They're good. They're fast. They get under your skin a bit. So I think, you know, we really wanted to beat them. Anyway, so we were down two games.
Yes.
So it was 4-0. First two games, we didn't really show up. It was kind of like boom, boom, goals. And, you know, we just didn't play well. It was like, okay, well, at least we made playoffs and now it's ended. Game 3, Puffy's with me. We're over at Vic Village.
Yeah.
Late game, 10 o'clock time slot or 9:30 time slot or whatever. And we're down by one. 30 something like that to go.
It was late.
Late in the third, we scored a tie. So we survived. We got through with the skin of our teeth, if they say that. I don't even know now, what that phrase means, but the skin of your teeth.
That game, we did also learn something that referees can toss parents from the arena, but they don't have to leave. Apparently, that's a thing.
Yeah, I was going to talk about that. Anyway, so we won the game, but in that hectic game, so we survived. So now it's 5-1. Pause, though, at this game, it got a little heated, you know, not necessarily with the kids per se.
No,
but
on the ice was the normal playoff
17-year-old single A band,
but nothing over the
chirping.
Yeah.
But the parents, some parents got really upset, and Puffy and I got front row seats to this action. And it was great. It was great.
I love it. Barrett loved it. We loved it. Yeah. It was fantastic.
Anyway, the ref ended up kicking out two parents.
Yeah.
And they were able, they didn't leave though. They just sort of went to the front door and sort of stood away. And that was it. So, which is interesting because one of the refs or one of the parents was yelling, "You can't kick us out. You can't kick us out." Mm-hmm. As his argument back. And the referee was obviously saying, "Yes, I can. Yes, I can. You get out or you're going to get delay of game, I guess, on the team or something." I don't know what he was going to do. So the GTHL official who was there came over, brought them up a set of stairs, brought them to the front door, and they just kind of stayed back away from the ice and everything. All to say, I did talk to my referee friend, my reference.
Oh, okay.
Yep. Mikey G. And he did tell me you can kick out parents. He did. He's a referee. He's like one of the, you know, he does a lot of he knows the rules. I believe what Mike says. Mike is a
this guy
and
also
so you can
be a referee.
Parents. Sorry?
This guy who was getting kicked out claimed to be a referee and said you can't kick out. So
we also looked him up.
Oh.
In the referee log people. And he wasn't there. So maybe he's a ref in a different division.
Oh.
But his name was not in the the roster for GTHL.
Now, full credit to the GTHL red jacket lady. I thought she did a great job of de-escalating the situation. She could have been like really pushing them out of the barn, and it could have gotten really ugly. And Vic Village also helped that it was an arena that the parents could move away from the glass, but still be able to watch the game. So it ended up being a good situation.
Yeah, it was fine. It was no big deal. It was all over. But like, also, if I was ever kicked out, I think I would just leave. You've already made a scene of such, you know, you've already made it difficult. Your friends and family have seen you do this, get kicked out of a minor hockey game. And I think I would just be, oh, damn, what did I do? And I would go to my car.
Yes.
I would walk on my barn.
I would feel shame. I would leave. And I'm actually kind of half surprised I've never been kicked out. I can get pretty heated at the
well, yeah, but like you're not as heated as what we saw, which was like very vulgar, very straight to them. You know, the ref. Yes. You're not like that. You know,
no,
you're yelling
strikes,
you're yelling, come on, you're yelling. Mm-hmm. This was like bombs. These were bombs going off. So anyway, all to say that ended up being funny and kind of happening. And then, you know, I don't know if it's karma. I don't know, whatever. The next two games, boom, we fired back and we looked awesome. Mm-hmm. And we win, and then we win again. Boom, boom. So now it's 5-5. We fought back from a 4-0 elimination, 30 seconds, we'll get the tie, and then we fought back and won for an epic game at Scarborough Gardens last weekend, where we were winning for a big chunk of the game, and we actually held them off for a big chunk of the game, and we ended up at the end losing 4-2, where we kind of lost it at the end, and Vic Village obviously claimed victory and went on and congratulations to Vic Village. And, you know, I hope they do. I actually hope they do well. I think they're going to play Forest Hill, and I'm cheering for Vic Village to win that. The The interesting thing is, it's okay. Like, we fought our way through that series. We had such a great run in that series. It brought the boys together so close through that series. Mm-hmm. They had a wonderful night on Saturday night after that game. They all got together and went out and had like an amazing time. I woke up at 1:30 to a bunch of them in my hot tub.
That's awesome.
Yeah, they had a great, wonderful evening and had fun and really bonded over it. And the truth is, if they did go, we're good. But Forest Hill's really good, and we would have been swept, and it would have been a sad ending. It would have just been like up and, well, who knows what would have happened. Of course, anything could have happened. But it, like, obviously we wanted to go on to win and stuff, but we didn't, but it was an okay ending, you know, even in a loss on how it was. So it was a great end of the season. And now we're getting back together for the Founders Cup.
Oh, nice.
In a week and a half or something, we'll be starting that. So that's like a round robin for first round elimination teams.
Yes.
Yeah. So
an elevated Clancy.
An elevated Clancy, which we'll take. So so that's good. So that's the story of what's going on with the old man. And then, of course, we have Cliver, who is in the U10 AA, Ted Reeve, hot pocket. He had to fight. They had to fight. So the way it works is there's like, I don't know how many teams, 12 teams, and six make the playoffs. The other six have to do a round robin. The top two go on. And so it's called the preliminary round robin. We were in that. We were up. We won. We then lost. And then we won. And then we won. And so we ended up being one of the two teams that got to move up. So we are now in the round robin with the top eight teams as one of the top eight teams. And we've had our first game. We lost to Goulding Park, even though we dominated last night. I thought we had a really good game. We just couldn't put it in the net, a couple unlucky bounces. And then, I don't know, obviously, like, there's always things you can work on. We had a really great run on that. Very competitive. It's a very competitive game, and now we're in the round robin. So off we go. We're playing more games tomorrow and Saturday and next week and blah, 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 blah. So lots of good stuff.
I was following along with the U10 AA action last night. I was at work, and I had my work computer, had Live Barn on one of the games. I think I had North Toronto Scarborough Ice Raiders on one. And then on the other one, I had Ted Reeve Goulding Park. I was flipping to the Tie Cats. I was like rink surfing U10 AA action. And I have to say, it was unbelievable hockey. The Ice Raiders had a goal where the kid went wide and fed it across for a one-timer. The bench went nuts. That was at Scarborough Centennial. I was like, this is just too good.
TSN really should give you a show for GTHL hockey.
I think GTSN needs to just start showing GTHL hockey and treating it like the NHL.
And we can be I'm like the James Duthie. No, you're like the James Duthie. Who's the like?
No, you
is there, James, is there a the comic relief James along Duthie. The way?
You'd be like the James Duthie, and I would be the Bob McKenzie of the minor hockey loop.
James Duthie. Okay. Yeah. That sounds good.
But it's going to be tight that preliminary round in U10 AA. Cause I think the Thunder are going to make noise and get into the next round.
Top four. Yeah. I really hope so.
I think you're going to get there.
You know, the truth is like they're 10 years old and everyone is like in the G for the first time and who's going to do what, but you know, there are definitely what we're up against is, you know, they're going to be double shifting kids. They're going to be putting power play lines on. They're going to be doing, you know, all that stuff starts to really come out, which doesn't really come out too much in the regular season, I'll be honest. So there's a new level of tactics and strategy, I think, that we have to adapt to, and that whether we're playing it or whether we're playing against it, just to make sure we're putting, like, every game counts. Everything matters. Every minute matters for the kids on these ones. And they're taking it seriously. Like, they really want to win. Like, they really want to do it. And we have a good team. So I'm excited, but all to say, it's all fun and it's all been a really good time so far. And I'm happy that the hockey shadow, we saw our shadow and we got seven more weeks of hockey.
Survivor,
so that feels good.
Yeah. I have to say, Goulding Park has one defenseman who can shoot the puck.
Yeah.
Two of the goals were pretty unbelievable for a kid that age to go top corner from the blue line. It was pretty
top corner from the blue line. Yeah, exactly.
They were rockets. But yeah.
So Puffy, thanks for being so invested in my children's hockey.
No problem.
I appreciate it.
Uncle Puffy. I enjoy it. Yeah, we there won't be my last game for the U10AA this
season. Always a treat. Like, I am always pleasantly, I'm like, Puffy's here. It's always a little bit better when you're there.
Yeah, you seem to have a very nice parent group, and the kids, Tanya just talked about it this morning. The kids are so cute at that age. Like, now that we've got the old guys and we've sort of been around the U15, U16s through the last few years, you forget how cute they are at U10. The goalies are underneath the net, but they're good little players, but they're so small and it is great. But I've been going to a lot of playoff games this run. Austin and I, Mondays at Donnymont has become a thing. We go and check out the playoff games there that have been just fantastic. And it got me thinking, what are the best arenas to go to watch playoff hockey in the GTHL? Okay. So I came up with my top five. Do you have any place that you really love to go watch a game, a playoff game in the GTHL?
So I definitely have my favorite rinks. Mm-hmm. I definitely have my favorite rinks. Is there a reason that makes them different for playoffs that I'm missing? Or is it just really, what are your favorite rinks to watch from?
So I'll go through my list a little bit. So, because my honorable mention's Herb Carnegie. I'd say Herb Carnegie is one of the great rinks that we have to play in the GTHL. My pushback against it is that it's a big barn. There's lots of seats. So it's hard to get that like really intense atmosphere that you can get in playoff games at Herb, unless, of course, you had like a U16 AAA final or something there's 400 people there. Like, then you wouldn't be able to beat that. But most games, you're probably going to have 50, 60 people there, even if a lot of people show up. And at Herb, it's a little big to have that that great atmosphere. So that's why, but it's still my favorite. So my number five on my list is Al Palladini. I don't know if you've ever been
there. I don't think I've ever been there. Where is that?
It's out in like Vaughn area. Vaughn Rangers.
I know he owns like a bunch of car lots, doesn't he? Isn't it like Al Palladini cars?
Yeah. He's a big wheel out in those parts. But if you go to Al Palladini on like a Friday night and it's the Vaughn Rangers playing, it doesn't matter what age group, everyone's out. Everyone's stand for games. There's tailgate and going out in the parking lot. And, you better, if you're a road team coming in there for a playoff game, you better be ready because the Vaughn Rangers are going to show up and show out. My number four, Scotia Pond, rink one.
I'd say
it's the crown jewel of GTHL. The thing about it, though, the seats are a little bit high and a little far from the ice surface. So you lose a little bit that claustrophobic feel you want for a big time playoff game. But still, it's still one of my favorites.
Yeah, I don't stand. I don't sit, though. I'm a stander at that rink. I'll stand in the top middle.
So top middle. Yeah. See, but you're so far away from the action.
Yeah, it's fair.
But I feel like the stands are so high that it's hard for the players to even feel. Like, you don't even sense a crowd at all unless you have some parent just absolutely losing their mind screaming at someone. But still, It's one of the best ones. Number three for me is Quench. So that's the old Etobicoke Canland.
Yeah.
And there, it's one of the arenas I usually don't like because you have the Wild Wing restaurant.
Yeah.
But they have in the corners in the second level, seating.
Yes.
And when it's a playoff game, those seats are packed. Like, you are right in there. And then you'd have to be a psychopath to sit with the other team's parents. But you have the parents sort of like kitty corner to each other, and then you have the bar that's full, and then you have obviously people drinking in the bar, and then around the ice level around the glass is just packed, so there can be really cool atmospheres at that rink for like big games. Number two for me, Scarborough Centennial. It's got the one side pretty high stands. Last year our Ticats played the East final there in game six, and it was packed. And people were all around the ends of the rink. You got both ends of the rink that you can kind of flood. And then the stands go up and the fans are next to each other. And it could be a pretty awesome atmosphere. And then my number one is Don Montgomery, specifically rink two. And I mean, you're an ice raider. You guys would have been there a lot this year, but Austin and I have been there the last 2 weeks on Monday nights, and both times it's been like people just lined up on the stairs, up in the warm room. You got the stands, they're so close together, and then they're right on top of the action. And then you got lots of room behind the nets to watch. And I just find games in there are just fantastic, especially if it's two teams that hate each other.
You're right. You're right. And there's not a lot of positives to say about Don Montgomery. You know,
no.
The change rooms are tiny. It smells like cannabis and urine.
Yeah.
You know, the snack bar is average. But you're right. I do like watching games there. And I can only imagine the playoff games are, I think we actually have one with Clive, like are good because the seating's tighter.
Yeah.
I always stand down at the far end.
Okay. So you're a stander.
I'm a stander. Yeah. And I like to stand up high when the availability is there because I like to get the full view of the rink. Mm-hmm. Those are all, I have to just say I align with all those. I'll tell you where I don't like Goulding Park. Terrible barn.
Terrible.
I'll tell you which barn I hate even more than Goulding Park.
Which one?
Don Mills Civilton. We went there last Thursday for a game. The hockey god, you know, for parents out there that have 3+ kids or even 2 and they're both in hockey. Okay. And the chances that they play right at the same rink on the same day within a game of each other is rare, super rare.
Yes.
And that happened for us. And we were like, oh my God, we can Don Mills, Clive will have a game. We'll go to Chipotle. Then Ozzy will have his game. Great. It all works out. We get there and Jody from Elite Power Skating is out there and we know her. So we were saying hi and stuff. She had pylons around this one area of the ice. Anyway, whole in the ice down to the cement, I guess, in the ice. Yeah. And so we got there, the whole team gets there. They start getting changed, game canceled. Ozzy's game canceled. We fought our way up there at 4:30 on a Monday, on a Thursday. Took like, you know, I live like 3 kilometers from there, but it took like an hour to get there.
Yeah.
And canceled. And that is just, and like, it's like, can't you just flood this thing all day? Like, what is the problem? What is the problem? And you have, why is that even a GTHL rink? Why? Well, anyway, Clive's playing there tomorrow.
Oh,
again,
geez.
And we'll see. Or he's trying to play there again tomorrow. But it is such a terrible rink. The glass is low. The ice stinks. The place sucks. There's nothing good about it. Nothing. Give me one good thing about it.
There's nothing. Location. It's not too far.
But I think the change
again, traffic's bad. Yeah. But thing is, for Clive's age, it's okay because the glass is low enough. They're small. It's fine. Ozzy's age should never be playing a game there. It's ridiculous.
Agreed. It's crazy.
Yeah.
Shout out
to Jody. She had a great Instagram this week where she just teed off on parents who are absolutely ridiculous about their kids and wanting them in classes that they have no business being in. It was fantastic.
I saw that she had a...
Well, sometimes you just got to come with the receipts and be like, come on, what are you doing here?
Yeah, I mean, hockey's crazy. I mean, like, I see it all the time, you know, like, just like the competitiveness and the status. I think there's a lot of status to it. You know, my kid does this or I'm in this or I'm on this team. And like, it's not only with the kids, it's with the parents. And like, anyway, yeah, it's crazy. I did see that. So Puff, I guess we don't have to do what's like, I know we usually go like who's where, what's the ratings, but we're into playoff season. We're into AAA's over. I think is AAA over?
No, still going.
Still going. All right. So we got some updates. I'm sure you have planned some updates for us here.
Yes, I do. I got some notes here and we'll start. Yeah. You jump in whenever you want to, U16 AAA playoffs. So the 4 automatic spots, were up for grabs, for the OHL Cup, with the 4 first round winners and 3 of the 4 favorites took care of business with JRC sweeping the Mississauga Rebels in 3 games. Vaughn Kings also needed just 3 games to beat the Red Wings, while the Toronto Marlboros needed 4 to send the Mississauga Senators to the sidelines for now as they await word on a wild card OHL Cup berth. The best first round series saw the 5th seed Markham Majors beat the 4th seed Don Mills Flyers in 5 games. The clinching game saw DMF jump out to an early 1-0 lead and then had a penalty shot, but they failed to convert, and Markham answered with two straight goals to take a 2-1 lead and hung on to book their spot in the second round, where they're facing JRC. Now, in that second round, JRC leads Markham 2-1 and can JRC can finish that series off Wednesday night at Herb Carnegie. The other series in the semis has the Kings and Marlboros tied at 2-2. The fifth and deciding game goes Thursday night at Iceland Arena. Sticking with AAA, the U15-2011 age group continues to be dominated by those Vaughn Kings. They swept North York Rangers in round one and are up 1-0 on the young Nats in game two. The fifth-seeded Nats do deserve some credit. They upset the Rebels in round one, and they made a game one a competitive series against the Kings, just losing 5-3. U14 AAA saw all three first-round series end in sweeps, with the top seed JRC, second seed North York Rangers, and third seed Toronto Titans all advancing. Mild surprise as the fifth seed JRC got by the fourth seed Vaughn Kings. I will have my eye on the Rangers-Titans 2-3 matchup. There are some fantastic players on both teams. U13 AAA first round was a round robin. No surprise, the top four teams are advancing to the second round robin. The Toronto Marlboros, Vaughn Kings, JRC, and Young Nats will now play each other one more time to see which two teams advance to the best of five final. Now, U10 to U12 saw everyone make the playoffs, with the bottom six teams playing each other to determine the two teams that would join the top six in the first round. Now, U12 saw a big surprise as the 11th place Markham Majors went 2-1-2 over the five games to grab the final spot along with the Mississauga Rebels. The 7th place Toronto Red Wings saw their season come to an early conclusion. U11AA saw the 7th place Rebels and 8th place Titans book their place as expected, and U10 with the same as the 7th place Mississauga Senators and 8th place Toronto Red Wings booked at least 7 more games this season. Now in AA, big upset last night, that's Tuesday night, in the U16 West Division. The top-ranked Vaughan Rangers, they lost game one of their second-round series against the fourth seed Mississauga Rattlers. The 2010 Rangers have won the last two city titles in this age group, but the Rattlers will have their full attention as this series continues Friday night at Westwood Arena. On the east side, U16, another potential upset brewing as the fifth seed Markham Islanders, who knocked off West Hill in 5 contentious games in round one, took game one of their east semifinal against first place Scarborough Young Bruins 3-2. I was in attendance for this one, and both teams played a great game. It was very competitive hockey. Both sets of fans were up for the game. Words were exchanged between the Young Bruins parents and Markham coaches, and we're only at game one. The GTHL would be wise to have one of the Redcoats in attendance for each game in this series. U15AA East saw both the first and second seed get byes in the first round and proceed to lose game one of their second round series, just like U16. Top seed Ted Reeve lost game one to the fourth seed North York 4-3, and the second seed Forest Hill lost to the third seed Markham 3-0. I do understand the reason for the bye when there's only 8 teams in the division and you want the regular season to mean something, but it does appear to be a disadvantage to the teams that get the bye. U13AA, still in the first round, Robin. The big surprise in the East is North Toronto. 5th place out of 7 teams in the regular season. They have gone 5-0 in the playoffs and have booked their spot in the second round. A huge game coming up Thursday at Leaside Arena when the East Enders play Markham. The Ticats finished 2nd in the regular season and Markham 3rd, and the loser of this game could find themselves out of the top 4 and a spot in the round in the second round. U12AA preliminary round in the East saw a 3-way tie for top spot between the North York Knights, West Hill, and Scarborough Young Bruins. The tiebreaker game down to goal differential, and it wasn't good news for the baby Bruins, who are on the outside looking in. The same situation happened out west with the Toronto Wolverines, Faustina, and Humber Valley, and it was the Sharks that had goal differential rule them out of the playoffs. Not sure this is the best way to solve tiebreakers, but you have to figure out one way. They just can't keep playing games forever. Now on to single A, and a great story in the East at U16. West Hill trailed Tedry Thunder 4-0 and was in disarray before pulling off three straight wins, including a 5-4 win at Chesswood to book their spot in the East semis against the top seed Scarborough Ice Raiders, who narrowly avoided the upset again of their own in the first seed. In the first round against the ace seed North Toronto, winning that series in 5 games. Out west, potential upset brewing in the semis as the 4 seed Humber Valley Sharks lead the top seed Westmill Lighting 4-0. U14 in the east saw one upset as the 6 seed Avenue Road Ducks beat the Vic Village Mustangs in 5 games, 7-3. It was a back and forth series with both teams seizing control before the Ducks finished it off. The Ducks showed they are no fluke, tying the opening game of the East Semis 1-1 with the second seed, Ted Reeve. U13 single A surprise in the first round of the East playoffs. The Vic Village Mustangs, who finished in 8th in the final playoff spot, are now 2nd in the first round robin and in a great position to stun the division and make the semis. U12 single A preliminary round saw 2 surprise teams in the East make it to the round one of the playoffs. The 9th seed Tedry Thunder and 11th seed Vic Village Mustangs both won their groups and now advanced to the first round of the round robin playoffs. Great achievement for those teams. And finally, U10 single A saw surprise in the preliminary round as 7th place Hillcrest got edged out by York Mills on goal differential to grab a spot in the first round playoffs alongside 8th seed Leaside, who won the other pool. Even though Hillcrest missed out on the first round, a great season for this team. 7th place for Hillcrest is unheard of in my time following the GTHL.
I didn't even know they still existed, if I'm being honest with you.
Well, they just, I think this is their return, because they're the only team that I think is playing in the G this year. And every year, every team would finish in last and not win a game.
Yeah.
So I think they took away their,
now that's Markham,
their thing. And Markham, yes and no. They have some teams.
I'm just kidding. They got some kids now that are good.
Yeah.
But yeah, Hillcrest, what's the tournament again? Remember when we started the podcast, we were trying to determine the early bird tournament? Remember that?
I remember it.
Was it Brian?
Yes, you're right, Brian.
Brian something. Anyway, I'm drawing a blank on it right now. But that's the Hillcrest tournament, and then there's no Hillcrest.
Yeah.
Yeah. Anyway,
Brian Steele
tournament. Yeah, that's right.
Yeah.
Anyway, so lots going on, lots of playoff runs. Everyone, a couple upsets in there, like do or dies coming up. It's emotional going into March break for these teams. Did you know U17, U18 don't have any games during March break? Did you know that rule?
I just learned that. Yeah. Candy was very excited.
Yeah. Yeah. No March break or no things on March break. So you can plan. Yeah. So next year, I can plan, but the problem is Clive. He's U11, so we never get that luck.
So you're screwed. Yeah,
we're screwed. But it's great. I love it anyway. It's all good. But it's been a great year of hockey. You know, three boys in hockey this year. 2 are done.
Yes.
One has the Founders Cup, so that'll be exciting to go to it. And you know, but whatever, the regular season and playoffs are over. Great dads. Had some beers on Saturday afternoon with a few of the dads. Great group of dads at our Ice Raiders too. We're blessed. Great parents on the Ice Raiders, great parents on Ted Reeve. Couldn't be happier with the parent groups that we got to be part of this year. So very happy and proud of that.
Same for us with the Ticats. We've had a great group for many years, and we added some great new parents this year. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, exactly. It's so critical. I did not understand it until I got into it a bit more, how important the parent group is to the team.
Yes. Yes. It can tear a team apart or it can make a team what's special.
That's right. Yeah. And I always like to think it's special. But yeah, it's a great group of parents. And we're at the end. And then now we got more hockey. Unfortunately, I have a dinner tomorrow night that overlaps with Clive's game. So I'm going to have to watch from my phone at the side of the table, I think. But
Oh, nice.
Other than that, I'll be around. So
Nice. Well, I'll be watching on Live Burn as well.
Yeah. Good. Well, Puff, we're at the end of the episode, I think. Is there anything hot that we didn't catch on this last episode that we got caught up on? We'll try again next week. You want to try for next week? It's March break. We're both, I'm around. So like days will be open. Let's try to do another one next week, maybe.
Days will be better for me to tape because I'm working a lot of nights coming up.
Okay.
Which is not good for my attending.
Maybe Thursday next week. We'll talk after the pod. But anyway, well, then we're at that time, Puff. We're at the time. You got a few more songs to help people finish off the playoffs. We got a couple more episodes left, so you got a few more in it. What do you have a new hot song for everyone this week, Puff?
I do not have a new hot song, but I've been getting a lot of 90s. Yeah, my TikTok algorithms, all like the pictures in the 90s, right? So mine is Smashing Pumpkins.
Yes.
The world is a vampire.
Bullet with Butterfly.
Yes.
Butterfly Wings.
Great song.
Like, if that doesn't get you fired up to come out of a dressing room and to hit the ice, that opening 30 seconds, bang, hits you right there.
Yeah.
I think that's a great song to go onto the ice with.
I couldn't agree more. I love that song. I got to see Smashing Pumpkins last year at the Key to Bala, which was like, what? You know what I mean? Like that band playing that venue, unreal show.
Do they still have their fastball?
Their fastball? What do you mean?
Yeah. Like, are they still like good? Are they still like?
Oh yeah, they were great. They were great. They were fantastic. Yeah. Fantastic. No, like, go to a Smashing Pumpkins show. It's great. It sounds like the Smashing Pumpkins, and he's good. And he's even a little less serious about himself. So it's like, okay, it's not like El Serioso Billy Corgan coming in and like yelling at us. It's like he's having fun up there now. You know what I mean?
That's great.
Yeah.
Did you know the thing about him and Bill Burr?
Yeah, it's not real, though.
It's not?
I don't think it's real. I think it's just a gag.
You think,
yeah? Yeah, because for those that don't know, they think that they're like cousins or stepbrothers.
No, brothers.
Yeah, but I don't think it's true.
That they have the same dad.
Ask ChatGPT. I don't think it's true.
I don't know how to use it for that.
You just ask it. What do you mean?
The robots are going to win. I'm not letting them win on my watch.
That song in particular... that song was so impactful. You know how I have a love for music, as you know.
Yes.
Yeah. That song is a song that I actually even remember where I was when I heard it for the first time.
Really?
Yes. I don't remember the guy's his name, but I was at a house party on a street called Queen Victoria in Lorne Park, across the street from the Battaglia's Plaza. Nice. House party, maybe a guy, he was like a year or two older. It was actually the first time I actually ever heard about Amazon as well. Same party. And I was like, it's an online bookstore. I don't get it, you know. And
it's not gonna work.
And they were playing that album, the double CD, and I was like, what is this? This is amazing. Yeah. And we just listened to that song over and over and over again. I was with Dan Cote Rosen from the Edmonton Oilers, who's with me, and we were like, what is this? This is intense. This is the best, and we loved it. So Smashing Pumpkins, and then. Of course, I've seen Smashing Pumpkins about five times since. So great band. Good choice. Well, I have to stand, you know, I decided to go Canadiana the back half of this year. So I've had a lot, and it's hard for me only because I love songs and music, and I constantly am listening to new music. I constantly have new good songs that I would normally share or want to talk about on here, but they have to be Canadian.
Yes.
And I haven't had the time to research all the songs if they're Canadian and stuff. So I actually went with a classic. And who is the goalie? How do you say the goalie's name from the Team USA?
Hellebuck.
And he plays for the
Winnipeg Jets.
So my song is very in theme with him and the Winnipeg Jets and taking that gold medal from Canada. And so my song is, the song is called One Great City, and it's by a band called The Weaker Thans, who are from Winnipeg, who are an offshoot of a punk band called SNFU. And It's essentially a song, like the chorus is, I hate Winnipeg. And the whole song is about hating Winnipeg. And it's a great little acoustic ditty. It's kind of a poppy acoustic song. Stoff's playing it in the background at this point here. And if he plays long enough of it, you know, it kind of goes into a bunch of lines. And then it goes, I hate Winnipeg. And then they carry on and carry on and carry on. And so I just felt so upset about that loss and Hellebuyck. And then he plays for the Jets. So somehow Canada losing means I like a song called I Hate Winnipeg, One Great City by the Weaker Than. It's a classic tune from like about 2003.
Oh, I love it.
So, yeah, great song. All right, Puff. Well, that's it. It is time to hang up the mic for the time. We'll get this out into the orbit soon. And thanks, everyone, for listening. Stoff, thanks so much for your support all throughout the years and this year and again. Puff, anything else for anyone?
No, I'm just heading off to Scarborough Gardens to watch some U16 single A action. Little Ice Raiders versus West Hill. Yeah. Only game of the night. Only game of the night.
You're going with Barrett?
No, Barrett's got to practice, so I'm going with Austin. Austin's coming to the rink, buddy.
I like it. I like it. Well, have fun. Have a great time and look forward to catching up soon. We'll find time to do this next week. Thanks, everyone, for listening. Have a great one. Good luck, everybody, to the playoffs. And go Thunder U10AA. That's my team right now. Okay. Yep. Thanks, everybody.